Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 15 in the first stanza. Lord, our Lord, thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim. In the heavens with radiant signs, evermore thy glory shines. Infant lips thou dost ordain, wrath and vengeance to restrain. Weakest means fulfill thy will, mighty enemies to still. The first stanza of Psalter 15.
Begin this morning's service with reading out of the first book of Samuel, there of the 17th chapter. But before that, the Ten Commandments, as they can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 1 Samuel 17, beginning with the 38th verse to the end. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, Inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, Whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Denzel van Driesten, who were blessed with a well-born boy last night. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have heard a little portion of thy holy word. It was a great victory. And I will give it unto thy people. But it is the height of faith. And thy people, they do tremble for fear that they have not the smallest part thereof. But the same character lies in the smallest acts. Oh, that we may receive that discernment and that ability to lay it out before thy church, and that thou wouldst remember thy people, for thou thyself will bring them through, though the fears are so many, that the enemy that will have the victory over them at the last. Oh, that they may receive an eye upon thee, who art able to give them courage, to give the exercises of that blessed faith, wherein a little peace and a little rest in the midst of the warfare is able to reside in their fearful and in their trembling hearts. And wilt thou look upon each and every one of thy own, for thou knowest where that they are. Wilt thou give that in their hearts they may be given also to know that thou art theirs and that they are thine. For thy servant did say, Whom is there in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. And the truth of that thou knowest liveth in the hearts of thy people. Thou hast put it there, O Lord. And wilt thou also feed it? And wilt thou draw them by renewal off of beds of sloth and in the service of this world? And wilt thou teach us each and every one that true and tender fear of thy holy name? For we are wretched and careless creatures going over the world with a form of religion. And we have not the substance by nature. Oh, that also in this morning hour, that holy jealousy may be born in our hearts by that new birth, that we may be given to hunger and to thirst after thee, the true and the living God. Could it be even in the days of our childhood and in our youth, that thou may work, O Lord, with great power in the midst of us, for we have no power. We are all wretchedness. We are all weakness. We are all poverty. We are all deadness. Everything has to come from thee, and therefore we beseech it of thee also in this morning of thy holy day. And we have come unto thy house of prayer. Thou hast said, thou hast promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of thee. O Lord, could it please Thee to show it also in this morning, that we may feelingly and believingly know Thy presence, Thy nearness, Thy favor, and Thy blessing. Wilt Thou remember the whole congregation? Many are the needs of home and heart, that Thou would supply for all those that are afflicted, those that are sick, those that do mourn, those that have crosses to bear, which can seem too heavy by times. But Lord, that Thou wouldst draw to Thy footstool and give to know and to experience that Thou art God and that Thou still livest and reignest over this whole universe. Do remember the parents whom Thou hast blessed in the night gone by with a well-born boy. O Lord, that Thou may humble their hearts before Thee, strengthen the mother further, and child together, that it may be a child born to be born again, and that Thou may humble the parents and the grandparents under all Thy great goodness, that we as parents and grandparents may be given also to see and feel the great responsibility that is lying upon us day by day. Oh, that we may be given faithfulness and diligence in the shortness of the time, and that we may be given to hasten with our families for our life's sake. Wilt Thou bring us to walk upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life? Do look upon our school, the teachers, and all those that labor therein and therefore. Wilt Thou put away the devices of Satan? For they are also coming against us, and they are evident, and they do increase also in the midst of our land, that there would be an outward persecution also of Thy truth, Lord, that Thou may give us to stand firm, and that Thou may give us rulers that may rule according to Thy holy law. Oh, that Thou may stand for Thy own truth, and that Thou wouldst fight for us when we have no power to fight for ourselves. Lord, wilt Thou arise, and for Thy name's sake remember us. And wilt Thou look upon all Thy truly sent servants, increase their number, and the students in this day. And wilt Thou supply for them wherever that they may labor, and that this day Thy word may go forth with a blessing from on high. And we ask it in the forgiveness of all of our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 161, stanzas 1, 2, 4, 5, and 8. My soul in silence waits for God. My Savior He has proved. He only is my rock and tower. I never shall be moved. We make the following announcement. The location of the open house for the Nobleford Church, scheduled for Friday, October the 13th, has changed from the Nobleford Community Center to the Calvin Christian School. And the last collection today is for the Calgary Loan Repayment. Psalter 161, 1, 2, 4, 5, and 8. Thank you. congregation, in continuation from last Sabbath day, our text for this morning can once again be found in 1 Samuel 17, the 45th verse. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. And then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Our theme was faith upon the battlefield. We have heard first where faith was born. Where was that born, children? We heard that faith that was born in his youth. Thus is faith born already in your young heart? And have you begun to seek that same faith that David may have when he is young, or have you put that off for another week? And will you put that off for another month and another year, because your youth, that does not last a very long time? It was born, we heard, in his youth. Our second thought, that is when faith was tried. We have heard that that faith that was tried upon the battlefield, Eliab, Saul, Goliath. Today, how faith that is victorious. Thus, our theme becomes today the victory of faith upon the battlefield. We want to see three thoughts about this victory. First, the weapon of faith. You know what that is, right, children? The weapon, what weapon did David bring to the battlefield? I think you can all answer me. But you must listen today very, very close. And when you go home, then I hope that your answer may be different. Will you listen? What is the weapon upon the battlefield? First, the weapon of faith. Second, the strength of faith. Thus, what makes that faith of David so strong that he is able to fight against that great giant? Third, the object of faith. What is it that David puts his faith in? And third, and fourth, the fruit or the consequence of faith. What does that faith bring? Thus, the victory of faith upon the battlefield, the weapon, the strength, the object, and the fruit or the consequence of faith. David, he says, "Thou comest to me, and I come to thee." That is for what? That was for war. That was for the battle. There are two enemies, and they have come face to face that they may fight one against the other. There are two ways that David must here be considered. In the first place, David, he may be considered here as a type of Christ, because David, he is fighting against the enemy for the sake of the children of Israel. That is not just for his own sake, but he fights and he receives the victory for the church of God. And we have seen last week in the end how that Christ, he was standing in the judgment, and he was standing there alone. He was standing there ready for the last struggle against the devil. And he was standing there in his apparent, in his seeming weakness, and being mocked and being ridiculed by the enemy. Thus, David as a type of Christ. On the other side, David, he fights as one of God's own children because there is also a warfare that must be fought by the church. That is, as Christ said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, thus they shall follow in that warfare. And David, he says now to Goliath, he says, thou comest to me. Satan, he comes against God's church with weapons. They are fearful weapons. They are very deadly weapons. They are weapons that are wielded by the hand of Satan, which is a very strong hand, and he attempts to slay with those weapons. He attempts to slay with the very strong weapons of temptation. You know what they are, young people, what temptation is. We know that Peter was so tempted by the devil that he said, you do not want to suffer. Christ, he also should not suffer. And so Satan says, do not go forward in that way. Satan, he comes forward with weapons of deceit and of guile. As he came to our first parents, says to them that ye shall be as gods. Thus he presents to them something which is for their nature very desirable, but it is false. Thus he presents to them a false liberty, a false freedom, a false independence, and they are very, very strong temptations. Adam, even in the strength in which he was created, did not stand against the strength of the temptations of the devil. Thou comest unto me. He comes to that church with weapons to make them afraid, to say that I am stronger than you and I shall have you at the last. God has forsaken you. Your guilt is too much. Your corruption is too great, that you shall end in the place where I am. Thou comest to me. Does he come to you too? Do you know the weapons whereby Satan is fighting against his church? He has a great army. They come from within. They come from also without. Think about the Egyptians. Think about the Assyrians. They are all coming for the destruction of that church of God. Thou comest to me. David, he says, moreover, I come to thee. Thus, how shall a church stand against the weapons of the devil? What weapons shall that church bring unto that battlefield? Thus, children, you say, what did he bring? He brought a sling, and he brought 5 smooth stones. What do you think? Is that now sufficient to fight against Goliath in his might? Peter, he said, I am ready to go with thee into prison and into death. Christ had said to him that whither I go, ye cannot come. Christ was going into a battle, into a warfare with Satan. Peter could not come there, but Peter was going to follow him anyway. And Peter said, I am ready to go to prison with thee. I am ready even to die with thee. What was the weapon that he brought along? Well, there was great love. There was a great zeal in his heart that he brought along. Self-denial. Was it enough? To stand when he came actually in the battle, when he came to the battlefield and when the enemy was there. Then we see that the weapons that Peter had in himself, they were insufficient. When Samson's hair was cut off and he lost the sign that he was a Nazarite unto God, then he thought, I will just arise and I will shake myself as at other times. But it was not sufficient. Because he then had nothing left but his own strength. And that strength that is not sufficient to come to the warfare that that church has to come in. The Lord himself said of Job that he is a righteous man. He is a man that fears God and that he eschews evil. But when it came in onto the battlefield, well, and when Job, he has to appear himself before God, not only to hear of him, but also to see him. And then also the righteousness of Job that proves itself to be insufficient to stand. And it is not for this righteousness that the Lord delivers him out of the hand of Satan. Thus, in that warfare, the strength of the church, the wisdom of the church, the righteousness of the church, that is exposed. That wisdom, it is exposed to be nothing but ignorance. The strength of that church in the warfare that is exposed to be weakness. That the church is not able to stand. The righteousness of that church that is exposed to be filthy rags, the salvation of Christ, that is for a fallen people. That is the great lesson of the Spirit of God in the life of His church. Therefore, we read that David, he says, blessed be the Lord who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. He must teach me how to fight because I do not have the weapons that are necessary to have the victory in that warfare. Thus, children, know that sling and the stone that is not enough to fight against Goliath. Goliath, he will surely overcome him. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, to come in the name of, that is to come in the authority of, that is to come as a representative of. Thus, we see here a sudden shift when David says these words, a sudden shift in the picture that is before us. Because we don't see now two, but David, he speaks about someone else. Someone else that is there upon this battlefield. And we see that David, as a representative, he falls away. And David brings into the foreground the one whom that he is representing. Moses, we read he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and that he endured as seeing him that is invisible. Thus, he saw him that was invisible. That is, we read, by faith he forsook Egypt. And that faith that saw him that was invisible. Thus, David, he says to Goliath, Goliath, you may mock at me, but I do not come in my own name. I do not come in my own strength. I do not come in my own wisdom. You see a child, you see a sling, and you see a stone, and you ridicule me. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. What warrior in all the host of Israel did not have the authority to come against Goliath as David had? Which of the warriors in Israel may not do that? May not come to Goliath in the name of the Lord of hosts? Well, you say they all may. That is right. Why? Because they are the Lord's people. And then especially, there are those who are God's true people among them. We mentioned Jonathan once again, who had also that same right. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will give it you. Thus, the true church, they receive the right of appropriation. Appropriation, that is, to take upon them the name of the Lord and everything that that name contains. Because it is the Lord's people, it belongs unto them. But the right to this appropriation and the freedom for this appropriation are two different things. Thus we read the disciples, they attempted this appropriation when faith was not in exercise. And they have tried to cast out the devil from that lunatic boy. And there was no result. The only result was an embarrassment. That is because the ability to appropriate that is different than the right of appropriation. And we see that also here. Because David, though all Israel would have desired to do exactly the same thing, David alone, in this moment, is given that faith that actually may appropriate. And in such an exercise, faith that appropriates to itself and to the particular circumstances all the power and all the salvation of God. That is what Paul says, a gift of God. That is what is experienced in the exercises of true saving faith. Of course, there are many in this world that have attempted to appropriate Christ and His salvation outside of true faith. Christ spoke of them, and He warned against this, the danger of it, and we can read also about the seven sons of Sceva, how that they have attempted to cast out, to fight against the devil. And even the devil himself did give an answer, how that they said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are ye? Thus, we can with our mouth and we can with our natural faith attempt to make such an appropriation, but it is impossible. And we read that the devils, they overcame these seven sons of Sceva. That will be the end of that people when they are not delivered from their delusion. That is, of course, the fear that is living in the church of God. But it can be known by self-examination. And how? Well, essentially, that true faith does not have self as its end. It is not selfish, but it has the glory of God as its end. What does faith do? What is the act of faith? Faith that trusts. Is that for personal benefit? Indeed. Was it not so for David? For personal benefit? When they would be delivered from Goliath? Was that not for the benefit of the children of Israel? Indeed. Faith that is for personal benefit. But true faith that is looking further than that personal benefit. The desire, the aim, the end of true faith that is one with the desire, the aim, the end of the Lord Himself. And true faith is conscious of this. And it is this consciousness of that faith that it is looking to the end of the glory of God, which is giving faith its strength, that it may rest in Him, that it may trust in Him. That is our second thought. And how? That is by resting on a good, a solid foundation. Let us listen to David. He says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. We say those are brave words. David, he says, I will. Is David boasting, children? He says, I am going to do something. You boast? Do you boast, boys and girls? Don't boast. Bible says, Solomon, he says, if you boast, then your neighbor is going to come and he is going to search you. He is going to put your boasting to the test. Then you are going to be greatly ashamed. So what is David doing? He says to Goliath, I am going to do something. Is he then boasting? No, it is exactly the opposite. Listen, he gives a reason. He says, I am going to do this, that all the earth may know, that they may know something, the whole world may know something. What? That they may know how strong David is, that they may know the greatness of David, that they may know the power of David. No. He says that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And, he says, all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Does David, he says what? He says, I am going to do this. I who? I who am just a little lad. I who am just a little shepherd boy. I who am so weak. I who am so inexperienced. I who have never fought a battle in my life. I who have only a few little stones with me. I who obviously have to lose this battle. I am going to do it. Why? Well, I am going to do it to make it very, very evident that I have not done it. I am going to do it that it all the earth may know that the Lord has done it. Thus, we see how that the Lord, he receives the honor in the exercise of faith. How? How does the Lord receive the honor in the exercise of faith? That is, by bringing to nothing the strength, the wisdom, and the righteousness of that people in their own estimation. That is how. To bring that people low, that trusting act of faith, that receives great strength in what? Well, it receives strength in the consciousness that it does the good pleasure of the Lord. That it looks for what God looks for. It does what the Lord would have it to do. That it is for the Lord's honor, for the Lord's glory, that is the strength of faith. Thus David, he says, Goliath, you cannot defy the armies of the living God without defying God himself. God looks after his own honor. The Lord, he cannot deny himself. And he cannot deny his own church, whom he has declared that he will care for. And now it is by this faith that David receives a great strength, a supernatural strength. It is a strength above all that human nature and all that is in this world can give to him. That he would go forward in such a battle against all odds. That faith that is so powerful. It is powerful against everything that is coming against David. Powerful against all the opposition. Powerful against all the trials. What Eliab has spoken. What Saul has spoken. What Goliath now has spoken. Oh, the power. The strength of faith against that Goliath. Do you ever think about dying? What shall be the strength of that enemy? The Bible says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Do you ever think about lying on your deathbed if you may receive a deathbed? And how great that enemy shall be when he shall come against us as a flood? Will it not appear to us as a Goliath that we will seek to escape that battle? To run backward from that battle? But we cannot. What happens here? Do you see him, children? David? He is running. Running what way? He's not running away. No. But he is running forward. What do we read? That he hasted and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Toward him. That is the strength. Maybe some of you young people do lift weights. Say, I want to become very, very strong. That is okay, as long as it is not used for vanity and to show off your strength. But we need strong people also in the world to do things. To do your farming, maybe. But we have a question for you. Do you understand something now of the strength that David had? That is a strength that is much stronger than all the strength that we can have in this world. It is not a natural strength. No, it is a supernatural strength. It is a spiritual strength. That is a strength that David received when he was also very young. When he was but a youth. You say maybe that is strength that belongs to God's people when they become old. But we see that it is a gift of God. And that it is possible that we receive that strength of faith in our youth. Are you ever jealous of that blessed portion? And do you desire to receive such a strength? What happens? Let us sing first. 422, stanza 6. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. Thy sovereign grace is heir to fortress and our tower. And what follows in the sixth stanza of Psalter 422. Thank you. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. We read of 700 left-handed Benjamites who could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. But we don't read this of David. Not only so, but David was running. I think some of you young people, we have seen you try to use a gun or a bow and arrow, and I have not seen anyone running, but you stand still to take good aim. But we read here that David is running toward that Philistine. Not only so, but the Philistine is not standing still either. And so we see how that the Lord is directing that stone to the forehead of this enemy. And what do we read? That the stone sunk into his forehead. Did you ever, children, see a stone sink? Say, yeah. Where does a stone sink? It sinks into the water. That is right. That is what the Bible says here. The Bible is making a comparison for us. And the Bible is saying that that stone that sank into his forehead is the same as we are familiar with a stone that is sinking in the water. Thus, we have a very evident expression of the ease at which that stone has sunk into the forehead of Goliath, and that with a helmet of brass upon his head. The Lord has shown that he clearly has fought for Israel. That is, as the God of providence. And that is now exactly the name that David here boasted in. Because he says, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. That is our third thought. That is the object of his faith, the name of the Lord of hosts. So the Lord, that is in all capital letters, that is Jehovah, that is the self-existing one, that is the proper name of the true God. And then we have host. What is that? That is an army. And an army that may be an army that is in this world. That may also be the army of the angels in heaven. But we can read also of the army of the sun and the moon and the stars. Because we read that the stars, they fought against Sisera. Sometimes that is referring actually to the entire creation. So the Lord of hosts is the Lord who has the host of the entire creation at his disposal. We see that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, that the waters, they parted for them. That was in the providence of the Lord. We can read that for Joshua, the sun and the moon stood still when he fought against the Amorites. and that more died in that battle of the hailstones than that were slain with the sword by the children of Israel. Thus we have the Lord of hosts. And thus when David says, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, then faith that is appropriating everything that is in this name, everything that is in that name that is brought to the side of Israel. Because, as David says, the Lord of hosts, he is the God of Israel. Thus, children, no, David says, I do not come to thee with a sling and a stone. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts that has every providence at his disposal. David saw so much in that name. And then especially in Israel's time of need, when the enemy was there and when they were fearing for their own existence. And this act of the trust of faith that was not put to shame. When the Lord, he has directed that stone that it may enter into that forehead of Goliath. Thus far for the faith on the battlefield of David. But congregation, do we also have faith? Do we also know something of this faith of David? You say, is it true faith? Is that your question? Is it true faith? Because if we have never that question, is it true faith? Then it is not true faith, because that is a mark of the false faith. The Lord, he has many names. And all those names, they are revealing to us something of the attributes, especially of the mediator, the work of the mediator, person of the mediator, who he is, what he has done, the offices of the mediator, they are all to be found in the names that he is revealing of himself. And all those names, they are connected to his church. Our question is this: did faith Was faith ever able to come, as we read here, in his name? That is, in the name, not necessarily of the Lord of hosts, that is one of his names, but the Lord, he has so many names. And if we know something of the exercises of true faith, however small, because we can look at this faith and we say, great was the faith of David, and I have not such a true faith. But true faith that is not to be judged by its greatness or its smallness, but true faith is to be judged by its characteristics. Thus does faith have those same characteristics that we can read here of David. Was that faith ever able to come in his name? That is not a faith that is given in our easy chair. That is a faith that is given to God's children in the warfare. And that is not a faith that is given just by a mere rational argument that we can, in our mind, argue ourselves into going forward into that battle, because such a faith that is not able to appropriate Christ, that it may receive the strength that David had. But this faith that is a gift of God. And then there is one last thought just for a few moments. And that is this, what is now the consequence? What is the consequence of that true faith? What was the proof that Christ rose from the dead? What was the proof of the truth that Christ has paid for his church? That was that he rose from the dead. That he rose from the dead is the receipt that the Father has given unto Christ for his work. All hell that has set loose against Christ in that battle, the mouth of that lion that was roaring against him, and what happened in the resurrection of the dead, then we read that the soldiers fled. And the mocking Pharisees and scribes, they didn't mock anymore. And Satan, he went crawling into his hole with a bruised head. The people of God, they rejoiced. Thus, that roaring lion was silenced. What happened with David? True faith that shut the mouth of that lion. That is the experience of true faith. When true faith may appropriate that name of Christ, when it may receive the strength out of that name, then the mouth of that lion that is for that moment in the exercise in the strength of faith, then that for that moment, that lion, his mouth is shut. And he has a big mouth. You can ask the people of the Lord, how much fear is in that warfare that they shall one day perish? But Satan, he can say nothing in the exercise of true faith. Hannah, she may experience what it was, because the enemy, when the Lord spoke, the enemy, she can still mock, but she cannot make her sad. That is impossible. And when the Lord is revealing something to his people, in their wretchedness, in their guilt, in all their corruption, that they may see the smallest part of one of those blessed names of that mediator, and they may be given by faith to appropriate for one moment everything that is in that name, then the mouth of that lion is stopped. Is not true, people of the Lord. He can say nothing in that moment. We do not say what happens later, because what happens also to David? David was not standing in the strength of that faith always. We read later that he was afraid. One day he says, I shall still perish at the hand of Saul. It was a different enemy. It was a different circumstance, and that faith that could not appropriate in those moments. Faith that is a gift of God. And it is a blessed gift. It is a blessed gift when the Lord, he is coming over, that they may see him, that they may bring him, as it were, by faith into that battle. Then they fall away. Then he comes into the foreground. There is a time that faith won't be needed anymore. What do we read? David, he goes. And he takes that sword of Goliath, children, and he cuts off his head. And that day is now coming for the people of the Lord, when his head that shall be so completely cut off that he shall never appear on that battlefield anymore. But for a little time, for a little time, that warfare that has to continue. Oh, may the Lord give that his name may be revealed, and that by faith they may see such a beauty in him, such a strength in him, and that they may be given to wield that blessed sword in his name. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it was a few words. Wilt thou bless it? Wilt thou forgive our sins? Wilt thou strengthen us that we may do our labors? Remember the student in this afternoon hour. Help him too. For Jesus' sake, amen. 121. O God, we have heard, and our fathers have told, what wonders thou didst in the great days of old. All the stanzas, 121. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.